Yud Zayin Elul, Tuesday the 1st of September, Dr. Shalom Springer, Rosh Hashanah, Shoresh Hashanah.
One is tempted to say good morning, gentlemen, because what one can see is gentlemen, our gentlemen. But in fact, we know that these shiurim are heard by many other people, so good morning to everybody who's listening in and will listen in. And as our introducer just said, the title of the shiur is Rosh Hashanah, and with a colon in it, Shoresh Hashanah. Now, you know, names are very important to us. We put great store by names. And we start off with a question about why our Chachomim called this Yom Tov Rosh Hashanah. The Torah doesn't. It's a rabbinic name. And therefore, we have got to ask, well, we could have had some other names, like the Torah calls it, sort of Zichron Truah. Yom Truah, they could have called it. Yom HaZikaron. In fact, Yom HaDin might have been the most appropriate. Yet, our Chachomim choose to give the name of the Yom Tov as Rosh Hashanah. So, is it the most relevant and the most instructive name in the sense that it distills and encapsulates what this Yom Tov is all about? Now, Rosh Hashanah is really translated as Tchilas Hashanah. Rosh is the beginning of something, the head of something, and therefore, if it's the Tchilas Hashanah, seemingly, not only could we have chosen names which were more appropriate, but in fact, this name doesn't seem to be all that relevant, because all it's saying is Tchilas Hashanah, New Year's Day. It's New Year's Day. Well, it certainly isn't New Year's Day. Yeah, it's a lot greater than that. In fact, we say in the Machzor, we say there's Yom HaDin, we say it in the following way. U'briyos bo yipokedu la'azkirom l'chaim u'lemoves. That every creature is remembered on this day, la'azkirom, to recall them l'chaim u'lemoves and to make a judgment about them. And so we are obviously dealing with life and death issues. And we call that day on which all this happens, we call it Rosh Hashanah, Tchilas Hashanah, which connotes New Year's Day, which is not really very, it hasn't got a great importance attached to it. So that's our question number one. Why is it called Rosh Hashanah? Why did our Chachomim choose that name of all other names they could have chosen? The second question is this. We've already mentioned that it's a Yom HaDin. So it's Yom HaDin, and normally a court case, a trial, is put on because someone has done something in the past. So just to take an analogy from school. Yeah, okay, you're learning the whole term, you're teaching your pupils the whole term, they're learning. So when do you hold the exam? You hold the exam at the end of term. You don't wait for the new year to come and then put on the exams. You actually set the exams for the end of term to see what they've learned during the terms. And similarly, a trial. A trial is always about the past. So therefore, surely, Rosh Hashanah should be mounted on the last day of the outgoing year. Why is it on the first day of the incoming year? And remember that Rosh Hashanah, although it's 2 days, this is not 2 days Rosh Chodesh, it's Yom Aleph and Yom Beis of Tishri. Yeah? They're the two first days of Tishri, so it's in other words, the new year. And so our trial, our Yom HaDin, is going to be on the day of the incoming year, when it should have been really on the last day of the outgoing year. The shiur I'm about to talk about is given actually by Chaim Friedlander in Sifsei Chaim, and he analyzed it in this following way, and we will bring in his Rebbe, who is Rabbi Dessler, was Rabbi Dessler, and what they say is this, the answers to these questions, these two questions that we've asked, firstly about the name, secondly about the positioning of Rosh Hashanah, will give us an insight into what is going on here. Now, we imagine that each year repeats in an endless cycle. I could have called this year, actually. I stuck to the title of Chaim Friedlander, Rosh Hashanah, Shoresh Hashanah, but could have called it something else, a bit more catchy, I suppose, which is, oh, we're here again. Yeah, we're doing it again, all over again. Same old, same old. Yeah, every single year seems to be the same. We have Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, etc. Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, and it repeats itself in an endless cycle. And that seems to be what life is all about. In fact, the book, the Sefer that we use in order to daven out of during Yom Tov is called the Machzor. And Machzor itself means cycle. So it's a cycling thing. and therefore it, you know, repeats itself endlessly. We go through a certain number of years, we come to the end, and we've done so many cycles, basically. And that's one way of looking at it. But in fact, Chazal tell us that the word shona comes from the word shinui. Shinui means change. And therefore, really, every year is different from the previous year, and we shall see how. There's a very nice moshel. It's miyuchas to the Chofetz Chaim. I first heard it in the name of the Chofetz Chaim. Whether he said it first or not, I don't know. But it's somebody who's, for example, in a tower. He's in a tower on the bottom floor, and this tower has four windows. A window pointing north, south, east, and west. And if you look through the north window, you've got one site, you've got the houses, you've got the roads. You look through the next window, and you've got a site of the river. And then you go around to the next window, you go around this tower, and you see there the railway station. And the fourth window looks out onto the mountain range. So as you go around the tower, every single time you look through the window with that particular orientation, you'll get the same view. If you keep going round and round and round the tower, you'll always get the same view from that particular window. The river window, the mountain river, the railway station river, the railway station window, etc. You'll always get that same view if you're looking through that same window. So that is what resembles life. We go around Pesach, and then the Shavuos comes round, and then Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc. And this seems to be endless, says the Chofetz Chaim. But this tower has got a staircase. So if you take to the stairs, and you go to the first floor, and that first floor also has the same four windows facing out in the same directions. If you look through the north window, I've forgotten what I said before, but that's the railway station river, and you'll see the railway station again. You'll see exactly the same view as you did on the ground floor, but you've changed your perspective. You're a floor higher. You're seeing the same view from a different perspective, and so on all the other windows, and then you mount the staircase again, and you go to the second floor, and again you see the same views from each of the windows, but again, you've changed your perspective. That is what life is meant to be about. It's meant to be continuous ascendancy. So yes, the same Yom Tovim come around. That's true, but we should be getting a hashbor from these Yom Tovim in a different way, because somehow or other, during the year, we have progressed. That's what it's meant to be all about. So the fact is that we know that on Rosh Hashanah, we say certain statements that the Master gives us, Lefonecha niglu kol talumois, that before you, our Kodesh Baruch Hu, is revealed all factors that are hidden, all events that are hidden, v'amoy nistoroshim ibereshis, and the multitude of nistorois, of secrets, shem ibereshis, from the year dot, from the word go, there are certain secrets that happened in the world. Rabbeinu Shalom, you know them all. But the Matzah says a little bit more. Hakoil goloi v'yodua lefonecha. Everything is revealed before you. You know it all, Rabbeinu Shalom. You know what's going on. Soifa Mabit, they are two expressions for looking out, staring, gazing. Rabbeinu Shalom, you gaze at Sof Kol HaDoiros, to the end of Doiros. In other words, what the Machzeh is telling us is something very, very fundamental. That Rosh Hashanah is a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is integrating the past with the future. He's not only looking at all the events that are happening from Bereshis up to the present day, but also from the present day, Atzof Kol HaDoiros, of the future as well. So Rosh Hashanah is a pan view for HaKadosh Baruch Hu of everything, the whole reach of time, from the word go to the word end. Rabbeinu Shalom is looking at it in all that dimension, a great big dimension. And it's not, therefore, just the past that we're talking about, but we want to introduce the future. When we started this year, we were talking about the past. A trial or an exam is put on for the past. But in fact, the Master is telling us something different. The Master is telling us that Rosh Hashanah is actually equally about the future as it is about the past. And the point that we're going to make and emphasize is that each year has a special place and position in a larger scheme. And that's why the Rabbeinu Shalom is looking at the whole view to put it into context. It was, we want our Rosh Hashanah to be in a certain context of the whole existence of the whole of the world, past and future. So it's in a larger canvas that the Rabbeinu Shalom is looking at it. And each year receives its own hashbor. Now hashbor we usually translate as influences. That's a good enough translation actually. But I'll translate it in something that means more to us. Hashbor doesn't only mean influences in the sense we get emanations. but also equipment. We had get certain equipment in order to be able to function as we should function as Eden and to bring out our whole potential. So each year has its own unique Hashbar, own equipment, and it's specialised for that year so that we can contribute to the tachlis of the world. Obviously, when the Rabban Shalom created the world, he had intentions for this world. He decided to create the world in order to achieve a certain purpose, which we don't possibly fully understand, but we know that each year will contribute to that tachlis as we move towards it. So in other words, it's not just the past, it's the future as well. It's the whole canvas that we are part of. Now, if we draw a line under that introduction and talk about something they call the Hanhogos HaBeire, the Hanhogah of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Achachamim know how it works, and what they say is that we move always from the general to the particular. The Ribbono Shel Olam gives us things in general terms. And the moshel that they give is a seed. You know, you can hold the acorn of a tree in your heart, in your hand, the palm of your hand. And you look at this acorn, it tells you absolutely nothing. Unless you're a scientist with a microscope, etc. But you hold this acorn, hold this seed, and it tells you nothing. But plant that seed and watch as the tree develops. And you see first the first buds, the first shoots coming out. And as it develops into the mighty oak that it can become, you see the full development of that tree only a long time later. And then you see that that was all tomon, that was all encapsulated in that acorn. You were holding in your hand the complete map of that tree. Now, of course, we're familiar with DNA, etc. Then, in fact, the map of what we are physically is held in each single cell of our bodies, and about a trillion of them. And every single one of those cells has the whole map of what we are in physical terms. And so, similarly, that is the case of the acorn, and that is similarly the case of the hashbor that unfolds during the year. So, what we're talking about is the Hanukkah of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So when something comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, where does it come from? It comes from a world which is above time and above place. It's not bound by time, and it is in no particular place that we can identify. It's there. That's where the Hashbar, that's where the mitzvah is coming from. And that's all Ruchnius. All Ruchnius has that sort of fundamental form, that it comes from a place which is not bound by time or bound by place. But when it comes to us, when it is delivered to us, then, of course, it then becomes bound by time. So it's got to be played out over time. And therefore, when it's played out over time, then we see the detail that was there in the first place with the thing that was delivered to us, the mitzvah that was delivered to us, but we've got to do it through time because we live in a world which is bound by time. A nice moshel I like to use is a music score. Now, you can hold in your hand Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. An old big symphony, it's pages and pages of music. If you read music, you'll understand it. If you don't, they're just lots of squiggles. Each page is a squiggle. You can hold in your hand the whole of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony at the same time. Now, if you would play, if you had an orchestra of 10,000 people, and they all played their note at the same time, it would sound like nothing at all. Yeah? And it would just be a great big cacophony, a great big sound, and that's all. So what do you need to bring out Beethoven's Fifth Symphony? You need time. You've got to play each note at its right time. So it's all there. If you put your ear to this score, you won't hear a thing. But when that score is played over time by the orchestra, then, of course, that thing takes shape. So in our world, we need time. Although, when it comes from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it comes in very generalized form. So we move from the general to the particular. The Ramban says the following. He says that the 6 days of creation represent the 6,000 years over which the world will unfold. So in other words, during the 6 days of creation, everything was written in and encoded into the activity of the Ribbono Shel Olam during those 6 days. And those 6 days now play themselves out. That's the general form. The general form was encoded during 6 days. We'll soon see what the Gaon says, even more about the Torah's aspect of it. But the Ramban says that when the Ribbono Shel Olam was creating the world, when he was actually doing his thing, during those 6 days, he was encoding and writing the script of the world. Havdil, Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, he was writing it all there in one script over 6 days. And then in the ensuing 6,000 years, over time, those 6 days now play themselves out over that period of time. And therefore, the 6 days of creation are the DNA. They are the seed that contains everything. And just as in the case of DNA, it controls everything, taste, size, colour, texture, height, etc., so during those 6 days of creation, the Rabbeinu Shalom was encoding what is going to happen to the whole world over time. Only later, of course, do we see. Now we look at history, we can see the way the world has unfolded, we can see what was there in the 6 days of creation, but we couldn't see it at the time, we'd be able to see it earlier. The Vilna Gaon mentions that were we able to learn the Torah in the right way, were we able to get to the true depth of the Torah, goes even further in Safedit's Musa, he says that every single detail of what is going to happen to the world, every blade of grass, every behemoth, everything is somehow encoded in the words of the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. And the whole of the Bria is there, and it is there in the most general expression. And as we whittle down the parashas of creation, right down to Bereshis Bara Elokim Es HaShamayim Es HaOretz, that in those words, it's contained, in fact, in general terms, meta-general terms, the whole of creation, in those few words. So the Vilna Gaon says that were we able to learn the Torah properly, we would be able to predict by looking at the sixth day of creation when Mashiach would come. His expression, not mine. So, in sum, let's summarize what we've done. It's all rolled up into the beginning. And therefore, the equipment, or the hashpor, as we called it, that we're going to receive in Tov, Shin, Ayin, Vov, has already been plumbed in at the 6 days of creation. Everything was prepared, and the Rabbeinu Shem had certain plans for Tov, Shin, Ayin, Vov. And of course, we want to be part of it. We want to be part of that plan. And therefore, that is already prepared for us. And the question is, are we going to be part of that plan or not? Are we going to contribute to the Rabbeinu Shloim's tachlis of the world? So not only does this particular year receive the hashpors, or should receive the hashpors, that were dealt and were actually deemed for it at the beginning of time, were destined for it at the beginning of time, the question is, we have a part to play in it as well. So we can understand now why Rosh Hashanah forms the root, the seed, the Rosh for the whole year. As we say in the Machsa, another quote, Zehayoim Tchilas Masecha Zikoron Liyoim Rishon. What's going to happen on Rosh Hashanah is that the Rabbeinu Shalom is going to replay what he did during the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. Just as in the Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, he was preparing the whole of the 6,000 years, and everything and every detail is somehow contained in those preparations. So every year he replays that in a certain way, which is that on Rosh Hashanah Day, he plans what's going to happen during this year for every single individual, for each and every one of us. What is there? In other words, it's a sort of mini creation of the world, and that's why it's called Zehayim Tchilas Masecha Zikoron Yom Rishon. It's a sort of replay of Yom Rishon. And Rav Dessler asks the question here, why is it Zikoron? Why isn't it exactly the same as Yom Rishon? Because in the same way as in Yom Rishon, he was planning for the future and absolutely putting in everything that needs to be put in there. So similarly in Rosh Hashanah, if we're saying that he's planning for the future, why isn't it exactly the same? Why is it only a Zikoron? And he says something very interesting. He says, because at the beginning of the process, during the 6 days of creation, there was only the Rabbeinu Shloim and the things that he had to do and the encoding that he had to do, and no one else was involved. There's no other involvement at all. He decided what's going to happen, and hopefully it will, in fact, unfold the way he wants it to happen. But in fact, on Rosh Hashanah, there's more to it. It's not just the Rabbeinu Shloim playing his part. There's us as well involved. There's man as well involved in the whole process. So we have some input to it, and therefore it's only a Zikoron Yom Rishon. It's similar, but not exactly the same. It has differences between them. So, whereas what we are saying, and what we are admitting, is that the Ovah, the past, does feed into Rosh Hashanah. No doubt about it. And the fact is that, of course, our past is always taken into consideration. What we shall see is, we'll get a perspective on that, and we'll see that, in fact, the main part of Rosh Hashanah is not the past. The main part of Rosh Hashanah is, in fact, the future. And the past is scrutinized for Skav Onish. We'll come to that. Of course, it's a different part of the Onaroim. But, in fact, Rosh Hashanah is mainly all about the future. What is going to happen during the year? And the whole year is, as we mentioned, rolled up into that day. What happens on that day is terribly important for our future. Hayayim Haras Olam. Today is the birthday of the world, and Haras is Meloshon Heroyim. In other words, this is going to be the first day of the next year, and the Fine Friedlander gives us a very, very nice, I think a very good example, a very good moshel for this whole process. You're running a little business, and unfortunately the business isn't doing too well. Okay, you've had to make debts during the year, etc. And you go along to your bank manager, and you ask the bank manager for a loan. Bank manager, I need £50,000 to get my business back off the ground and running again. And so the first thing the bank manager will do is will say to you, let me see the books. I want to see the books. And the bank manager will say to you, I'm looking at these books, and you asked money here, and you made another debt there, and you made a loan there, you know. Your business doesn't seem like a very good bet to me, yeah, for the future. So you turn around to the bank manager and say, but bank manager, you don't realise that I've made all sorts of plans. I've got all sorts of changes in train. I've appointed a new manager, I've got new premises, I've got new machinery, I've got new lines of stock, etc. And you know, I'm going to do lots more for the future. Ah, says the bank manager, that sounds different. That sounds a lot different. If all those things come to fruition, then of course you are a good bet. Maybe you are a good investment. And the bank manager therefore says, okay, if you're making all these plans and these plans are realistic, then we have something to talk about. Of course, the past will have to be mentioned as well. Somehow you'll have to service your debts. But we'll leave that till later. We'll leave that till next week, in inverted commas, Yom Kippur. We'll leave that till next week. And that's the moshel for what we are talking about. That if we present ourselves on Rosh Hashanah as a good investment for Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then he will give us all the equipment that we need, not only to get through next year, but to achieve our potential and, in fact, contribute to the tachlis of the world. So what it's all about is that Rosh Hashanah is budget day. That's what it is. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is creating a budget for us and allocating a certain amount. Let's get back to our model of the accountant. So the man says, you're going to give me my £50,000 back to my manager? He says, yes, I will. So the man says, well, I've got a bag here, actually. Put it in there. No, says the bag, it doesn't work like that. Okay, we will have a look at your business after 1 month and give you the first tranche. Okay, and we'll look at your business after 2 months and we'll give you another tranche, etc. Over time, we will give it spanning the whole of the year. And in fact, it's most interesting because the Mishnah actually says this. The Mishnah says, Barbot Parokim Nidon Oilom. At four times of the year, the world is judged. Pesach ala Tvua, Batzeres ala Pesach Ilon, Chag ala Mayim, of Rosh Hashanah, Kol Boi Oilom, Oivrim, Lefonov, Kibne Morim. Akosha, there's a kasha here. Ma'achasha Odom Nidon Rosh Hashanah, if we're having a Din Torah for everything on Rosh Hashanah, what are these other Rosh Hashanahs doing here? What's it all about? We have other Rosh Hashanah. It's all fixed, etc. We said, it's all fixed on Rosh Hashanah itself. So what are these other three occasions? Elo Rosh Hashanah Nitna Kol Beklolis. As we said before, on Rosh Hashanah, it's given us in general terms. The budget is fixed. Here's your budget. And the Gemara Taka says, Al Derech Shenema Besetzes Rosh Hashanah, Harei Shoy Yisrael Roshoyim Gemurim Rosh Hashanah, if unfortunately Klal Yisrael or Roshoyim at Rosh Hashanah time, Uposkul Lehem Geshomim Mu'otim, and the Rosh Hashanah decides, this year you're going to have a very little rain. Because you're all Roshoyim, therefore there's going to be very little rain. L'sof Chozer Behem. And after that they did tshuva. As the year goes on, they're doing tshuva. Well, the Hois of Alein Yefshah. The Rosh Hashanah does not change its gezerah. I said, oh, you're going to have 50,000 gallons or whatever it is. That's what you're going to get. But, Shifar Nigzor Gezerah, the gezerah has been made. Rosh Hashanah doesn't change its gezerah. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moridim Bezmanam Al Oris HaTzrich Alehem. You know what Rosh Hashanah will do? He'll take those 50,000 gallons of water that he has allocated to you and give it to you exactly at the time you need it. In other words, he will maximize the use of that water if you deserve it during the year, even though the gezerah was initially, you should have a small amount of water, nevertheless, be given to you at the exact time. Then the Gemara gives the other way around. Suppose you have a tzaddik and gemur and Rosh Hashanah, and 100,000 gallons were allocated for this person, and then he turned out to be a rotter, and the Rosh Hashanah can't change his gezerah. Oh, but what does the Rosh Hashanah do? He makes it rain at the wrong time. Makes it rain at the wrong time, so you'll have no benefit out of it. So in other words, we've got a budget. And the question is, what we do with our year will determine how that budget is used. So similarly here, that we get the budget of Rosh Hashanah, and hopefully we can present ourselves in a manner which is purposeful, and a manner in which is going to be positive, and then over the year, the judgments that are made on a continuous basis will come to the fore. Gemara says as I Nemar the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, Rav Yosi Oimer Adam Nidoin Bechol Yoin. He quotes a pasuk. Rav Nosson Oimer Adam Nidoin Bechol Shor, and he quotes a pasuk. So we see that this judgment process actually goes on a whole year. What we've said is, we've got the budget on Rosh Hashanah, and how it's allocated, how it's paid out, metaphorically speaking, and realistically speaking with our marshal, how it's paid out, how it manifests itself to us, depends on our behavior throughout the year. Now, Rabbi Destler gives a very nice marshal. He takes it from a sort of branch of neurology. And he says that it's very interesting how the brain works together with the limbs. Now, the brain actually is situated in the Roish. That ties in very, very nicely with what we were saying. And by the way, we have answered the question, for Bygandik, yeah, en passant, of why Rosh Hashanah is at the beginning of the new year and not at the end of the outgoing year, because Rosh Hashanah is about next year, mostly. It's more about next year than it was about last year, although last year feeds into it. As the bank manager said, we will look at your books and you have to service those loans, but Lemaisa, you've got a rosy future. You've got something that might work, and therefore I'm prepared to invest in you. Rabbi Destler puts it as follows on the Mamore Chazal that we just quoted, that a person is judged every single day. We have a brain, and that brain controls all aspects of our body. Everything, down to our fingers, our toes, everything. The brain has got to have a partition, some place in the brain that will send a signal for the finger to move. So everything counts, everything depends on the brain being able to function. If something is missing, or something is bechesoron in the brain, something is missing in the brain that doesn't have that particular facility to send that particular signal, then the finger will not move. But on the other hand, the finger has got to be capable of moving. Okay, it's got to be fully healthy, etc., and got to be able to receive the signal. So the brain sending the signals and the finger receiving the signals are exactly what we are talking about, says Rav Destler. The brain is Rosh Hashanah. It's sending the signals. It's out there. But we have got to be out there during the year to be able to receive the signal. If the brain is functioning, we've had a good Rosh Hashanah, we've had a good allocation, and we're out there still maintaining our standards, etc., then of course the two will work together and we will get our allocation and things will actually work. So we've got to be operational in all sorts of forms throughout the year, and in that way we can have our budget given to us. So each day we are judged. And it follows that since it's the future that determines the din, that it's really rather important that Rosh Hashanah is dealt with properly and that we have managed to do the things, I'm sure you've got had lots of other shiurim that I'll tell you about, Malchus, Zechronus, and Shofas, what the mechanism of Rosh Hashanah is. We've talked about it in general terms. What are we going to achieve if we have a proper future? If we become part of the Ribbono Shel'Olam's big plan, and the plan which is in context, and the special plan for Tov Shein Ayin Vav, and we are part of that, then what are we doing? We're actually contributing to the tachlis of the world. Not just our own future, but the tachlis of the whole world. Because as we learned at the beginning of this year, Ribbono Shel'Olam is looking at the past and looking at the future. In other words, he's going to put it into context. If we achieve our own tachlis, then we're contributing very greatly to the tachlis habriya. Let me put it this way with another marshal, which will make sense, I think, to all of us. You know, we work in offices, and sometimes the office gets very cluttered. And every year we've resolved, in the summer, when it's a quiet period, we're going to clear up the office. We're going to sort things, file things, etc. You know, and I know it never happens. And one day you decide, we've got to move offices. We've got to move offices. Move offices, and all of a sudden there's a hive of activity. Yeah, a frenzy of activity. Everything's now sorted and getting sorted. We want to move offices. See, that's the point. That once we have ascertained our future, then of course we begin to do something about our past. And that's the idea, that what happens is, because we have an assured future, because we have a matzliach dika Rosh Hashanah, that will give us the impetus, the energy, to sort out our virus, to sort out the past. Because now there's a reason to do that. I want my future to be unimpeded by my past. If my past always comes back to haunt me, then my future is jeopardized. So since I'm concentrating Rosh Hashanah on my future, I will then make lots and lots of effort straight after Rosh Hashanah with all the energy that I've gathered by having that future in order to sort out my past. And that is one of the reasons why Yom Kippur is after Rosh Hashanah. You would think it should be the other way around. So first sort out your past, then is the future. Nishtazay, according to this whole pshat, it's the future that we've got to make sure that we have. And once we've got the future, then we've got to have the energy and the feeling that I've got to do something about my past. In a nutshell, I will say, if we get Rosh Hashanah right, then we will also get Yom Kippur right. If you don't get Rosh Hashanah right, then it's going to be very, very difficult to do proper tshuva. May I wish you all a matzliach dika Rosh Hashanah, a ksiva v'chsima tova to you and to the whole Klal Yisrael.